All right. Some scriptures that we went over here before, I'll go through them again quickly and just read them. And this is part two in that series, The Biblical Lady God Wants You to Be, if you're a lady, that is. And this will cover the biblical wife this week. And next week, we'll probably cover the biblical mother and get some understanding about motherhood and things like that. 1 Corinthians 14:34. I'll just read through a bunch of these verses here. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ouch. Well, that's very all-encompassing, isn't it? That everything. That's enough to make you want to throw a tomato at me here tonight, isn't it? That makes you kind of mad. No, I'm just kidding. We'll explain that a little bit, okay? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. What I've done is taken all of these verses concerning the wives and kind of put them together. It's not just one long verse here where it's hammer the wife here. No, these are all the verses in context here, most of them in context. So you don't just think that one verse that a preacher is preaching on and everything, he just pulls out one and that's all there is. Amen. No, there's many verses. That's why I'm reading them all to you so you understand. All right. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You remember that one verse right there, because that's going to be in the end, and that's going to matter a lot. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, wearing it, you see that? The ornament, like you put an ornament on a tree, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection of their own husbands. Now, there's more verses, but those are the context there. That is the context. Now, we talked about the biblical wife, and I told you last week or a few weeks ago, we studied what a biblical lady's conduct and conversation, her manner of life should be, what is well-pleasing unto the Lord in her life. And listen, folks, the order that God lays down matters. It matters. It matters for the continuity of the home. It matters for the continuity of you being a mother. And it matters in the continuity of the church. You know, a lot of the problems that happen in churches are due to women. And I'm talking about fundamental Baptist churches. A lot of that is due to women. Because a lot of times, and many times, they leave the simplicity and the model that God has given them. Now, part of that is the pastor's problem, because he doesn't set the order right of the family first. You want to know why the churches are in trouble? It's because the families are in trouble. And part of the reason of that is the pulpit ministry. It is not strong enough, it is not direct enough, there is not biblical teaching in that to explain to you what God expects from you. So a lady comes and she does something out of line and the pastor just rips her face off or goes to her husband and yells at him and tells him the way it is. And a big argument ensues instead of scriptural teaching. Amen? And let me say this, I'm not going to come to anybody, and I'll say this again, I'm not going to anybody's wife and ripping any wife's face off. You understand that? That's not my place. Even though it's the house of God and God has put me as an overseer, that's not my place. If anybody's head's going to get ripped off, I'm going to come looking for you and talk to you, man. Amen? I'm not talking to your wife like that. And I won't talk to you like that. If you notice, I don't talk like that to people. I don't deal with people. When I deal with you privately, my boldness in the pulpit is different than my meekness when I deal with you in private. I don't deal with people harshly in private unless I have to. There are times that you have to be firm with people. There are times that you have to be clear and firm with people. A pastor has to be. Amen? I've done it before. I've had to do it before. Sometimes you've got to snap people into reality. And that does happen occasionally, but that's not the normal. I try to do it with love and meekness and share with you. If you're following what's said on the pulpit, what's preached in the pulpit, then usually there's not a whole lot of counseling that is necessary. There's not a lot that has to be done. The problems don't arise there like that when the pulpit ministry is strong and hot and heavy and it's preaching what God would have a preacher to preach. Amen? Now, we talked about, though, this meek and quiet spirit. We looked at that meek and quiet spirit a lady is supposed to have. Now, ladies, you have to be cautious about how you deal with your husband. You really do. You know, the huffiness and the attitude and things like that, it shows, and it shows ugly. I'm going to be honest with you. If a mirror is shown to you, it looks ugly when you're like that. Now, that doesn't mean you have to squeak in the corner and not say anything. This isn't Islam. This is biblical. This is the biblical lady, I said. And if your husband is such a tyrant that he can't take his wife talking to him, then he needs to grow up too and be a real man. If you can't take your wife talking to you and being firm with you and direct with you and just explain to you in meekness, explaining to you her position, then you're not being a real man. You're being a proud, arrogant buffoon. Amen. I know it's not the guy's turn to get picked on here, but this all works into your wife ought to. If she can't talk to you, how strong do you think your relationship is if your wife doesn't feel like she can come and talk to you and tell you anything? When times get scary for her and something happens, the last thing she needs is for you to dump on her. Does that make sense? So if she's scared about something, if there's something involving your child, if there's something involving your home, if there's a health concern, if there's something, the last thing she needs is you pointing your finger at her and telling her what she's not doing right. Now, yes, you are to guide the home, absolutely. The lady is to guide the home, the husband is to be the overseer there, absolutely. But you know what? You need to deal with things with compassion and love. Don't forget about compassion and love and leading. That's why the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. I tell you, it's funny, because people, if they're not used to Hannah, we joke around and have a lot of fun. So sometimes people, they think, oh man, what's going on? No, there's nothing going on. We're having fun the whole time. We don't argue like that. If you see us argue, we don't raise our voice at each other or yell at each other. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't. And it's not because she doesn't speak her mind and tell me what she thinks sometimes. Because I definitely get some of that. But she does it in a spirit of meekness to where I'm the one that feels bad after she's done. I hate to air my business like that, but that's just the truth. If it's done in the right spirit, if you're right and you do it in the right spirit, your husband's going to walk away and he's going to feel really bad. I mean, I won't tell you what happened, but I'll give you an instance of something. It happened earlier this week, and it wasn't a bad thing or anything like that, but I didn't want to do something. And I didn't do it. But I felt really bad after I didn't do it, and she didn't get mad at me, she didn't say anything to me, and it worked more. If she would have gotten mad at me, I probably would have been okay. I probably would have been like, well, I feel pretty good about this. I'm not doing it, lady. Roar! You know? And swing on a vine and feel like I'm Tarzan or something. I'm the king of the jungle, you know. That's what you feel like. But you know what? She didn't do it that way. What she just softly just said, okay, well, if that's the way you want to do it. And after she left, I was like, man, I feel terrible. I really should have done that. So I'm like, I'm really sorry. I'm texting her. I'm really sorry. I mean, I must have texted her 3 times and told her I was sorry. She's like, no, I understand. Don't worry about it. Oh, I know. Sure. Keep saying that. That just makes it even more. And you know, what's that? It does work every time. It does. I'm telling you, ladies, it works to be that way, to have that spirit. It works. Now, you know, let me say this again. If your husband is so stubborn that he's being a buffoon, just pray to God to soften his heart, because that's just ridiculous. You ought to be compassionate when you see someone. When you see your wife in that state, you ought to be compassionate. There ought to be that. That's a natural compassion that ought to be there. If you don't have that, it's because you're not loving her. Right. I'm stuck on you guys right now. I gotta get moving. I'm supposed to be on you ladies here, and I'm picking on the guys. Alright. Anyway, we learned though that last week or the week before that when we studied this, that she is to be covered and not bold and not brassy, but a meek and quiet spirit. We looked at the blessings of God upon her if she does manifest that spirit. We learned that a lady's clothes should always reflect what's in her heart. So if nudity and nakedness and vileness is in your heart, then that's going to reflect. And I've seen that before in ladies. Not here, but I mean, I've seen that in the world. I've seen that. And I said, you know, that's the reflection of their heart. That's a sad thing. You know? That's a very sad thing. And a lot of times it comes from ignorance. Young ladies, and they really believe that they have to show their body for somebody to care about them. And I say that if somebody cares about you, they'll wait to see that one day. You know? Truth. They'll wait. And if they don't, then they're not a good man to be around. So bye. You'll not be brokenhearted by keeping purity. Yeah? Purity means something. Yeah? It's of high regard to God. In the sight of God, a great price, the Bible talks about. Anyway, we learned how that it will continue to see that meek and quiet spirit of modesty will transcend into every aspect of a lady's life. Whether it's as a wife, it'll go into it. Whether it's as in the church house, she'll keep that meek and quiet spirit. That will transcend into every part of her life. As a mother, she'll keep that meek. I mean, I'm telling you what, I've seen some women that are mothers that are just bitey and mean and nasty and grumpy and just, oh man. Just a horrible spirit. What do you think that does to a daughter? Or a son that grows up in a home like that? You know what it does to them? Teaches them to accept that, or teaches them to repulse that. And if they don't have proper affection between a mother and a son, or a mother and a daughter, or whatever else, if that affection is not there, the affection for the husband and the wife when they get older is not there either. It has to be completely trained. You know, that's why we guard our children. You say, you're really protected. Oh yeah, you ain't seen nothing. Yeah, wait till they get older. What are you going to do? Keep them from everything? Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm doing my best. Yeah, I am. Really doesn't matter if you have a problem with that either. I got over somebody thinking that I should, you know, why don't you give into that, or why do you have a problem with that, or make fun of me because I don't do this or do that. I really don't. That doesn't bother me. I'm going to protect my kids from wickedness. Amen? Shield them from men breaking their hearts, giving their hearts to somebody, and then seeing them ruined and beaten and taken advantage of, used, and then abused. Because they carry that with them their whole life. And it affects every relationship they ever have. All right. The biblical wife in the Christian home. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, and if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The prevailing command from God to a biblical wife is that she be in subjection to her own husband. It does not say in subjection to every man. It doesn't say in subjection to the pastor. It doesn't say in subjection to her father-in-law or this person or that person. It says to her own husband. You see that? Not to every man, but to her own husband. To submit means to yield, resign, or surrender to the power, will, or authority of another. With the reciprocal pronoun, to be submissive, to yield without murmuring. Ooh. That means to yield without that murmuring and complaining and disputing about everything all the time, complaining about it. The Lord is very clear for His biblical wives that they should submit to their own husbands. The only condition on this submission is as is fit in the Lord, or right in the Lord. Give me an example of that. Well, what I mean is if your husband asks you to go do something lewd, wicked, or disgusting, completely out of the will of God and wrong, then obviously you don't obey that command. You understand that? You don't break God's law to do that. Now, however, that does not say, now there are some ladies that have been told to stay home from church because their husband said so. They should obey that. Amen. Say, why is that? Because he is her head, that's why. And God's not going to punish her for doing that. How can you and I say that we obey them that have the rule over us, or we're obeying God if we disobey those that are put in charge of us? Or as the head of us? Now, very seldom does that happen. But there are times when you say, I don't know if I can agree with that. Well, you don't have to. But it's very clear what the Bible says in everything. Now, everything in this sense is including everything that a biblical husband should lead his wife in. To submit, the Lord is very clear. And people have a hard time with that because they say, well, but listen, what you have to understand is that biblical authority was not laid down was laid down by God. It's not laid down by man. The head of a woman is who? Her husband. That's right. Do you think God's going to punish that lady for not going to church when her husband tells her not to go? And he's going to punish her for it? No. He's going to punish him for it. And God, with a lot of prayers and stuff, you say, now where do you get that at? Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter that the husband may be won by the conversation of the wife. If you sit up there and argue with and preach to your husband when you're supposed to have a meek and quiet spirit, how can a spirit of rebellion witness to her husband? Can't. It won't work. It won't work. Why? Well, because it's not a meek and quiet spirit, first of all. The second of all, it's a spirit of rebellion, like I'm not going to listen to you. I don't have to listen to you. Because God says it's okay for me to go to church, so I'm going to go to church. You see, there's an authority issue there. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. I'd probably go talk to her husband. If I had a lady that said, my husband won't let me go to church, I'd come talk to him. Why won't you let her go to church? What's the matter with you? See what I mean? I don't make the rules, folks. God does. God makes the rules. And if we say we can rebel in one way, then we can rebel in all ways, can't we? That's like saying give me a perfect example of that. Give me a perfect example. Children. Your child says, God told me that I could do this. So, yeah, but son, I told you can't do that. Yeah, but God told me I could do it. Well, how can I argue with God telling you that? See what I mean? God speaks to my head. God speaks to the leader there. God, I can't do that. You say, well, they're not like children. The subjection is the same. Why do you think he laid it down? No, you're not a child. You're a wife. That's understood. Amen? But there's still the line of obedience that God has placed. It's like saying, well, I'm going to not listen to the pastor in the church. I'm going to do what I want to do. We're going to do things the way we want to do in this church. And we're not, then you're not allowing the overseer to do the overseeing. I disagree with him. Listen. You're not allowed to disobey just because you disagree. You better have a good biblical reason why you can disobey. Amen? I know it's hard to take. I know it's not easy. I don't like it either. Amen? But there are certain things. I like God's order because it's right, though. Amen? What's that? And constant. That's right. It never changes. But you know, I have seen more ladies be not that a husband will eventually give in situations like that. People will be praying. He'll give in. It happens. Believe me. Listen to this. This is an instance explaining the above general rule, which subjection lies in honor and reverence. See that she honor and reverence her husband, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:33. And in obedience they should think well of their husbands, speak becomingly to them, and respectfully of them. The wife should take care of the family and the family affairs according to the husband's will, should imitate him in what is good, and bear with that which is not so agreeable. See that? She should not curiously inquire into his business, but leave the management of it to him. So should she should help and assist in caring and providing for the family, and should abide with him in prosperity and adversity, and do nothing without his will and consent. Now, that put that in context. Understand what that means by nothing without his will and consent. It means you don't make decisions in the direction of that family without speaking to your husband and talking. Amen? And a husband should do the same, by the way. Amen? I mean, a lot of times my wife doesn't have any clue what's going on with things. I don't tell her everything. Why? Why should she have to worry about it? That's what God has me to do. Why should I foist the burden onto her and have her worry about it so she has to sit there and think about it all the time? Amen? I'm not supposed to do that. That's why I don't let women, women dealing with bill collectors and battling things out, but they shouldn't have to do that. You should do that. A man should do that. Should make his wife do that. He's the one that's supposed to be the negotiator. He's the one that's got to get tough and say some things. You're trying to develop somebody in a meek and quiet spirit, then you make them stand up to a bunch of bulls? Why would you do that? Amen. You're making her fight and be scrappy. You're the one that's supposed to fight and be scrappy. Not her. She's supposed to have a meek and quiet spirit. But if you put her in a position where she has to do that, that's not fair to her. And then you would tell her to submit to you. Amen. Come on, man. It's awful quiet in here tonight. Ooh, man. Man. Woo. I hear the door slamming outside. I'm in trouble. The nursery doors, it's a revolt. Come on now, it's Bible. Then, listen to this. This quote is not Bible, obviously, but it really fits the text here. But leave the management of it to him, so should she help and assist in caring for the family, and do nothing without his will and consent. And this subjection is only to her husband. Notice that. Not to any other man, nor to her children, nor to her servants, or any brought into her house. And this consideration should render the subjection more easy, voluntary, and cheerful. You don't have to sit there and be submissive to every man and take every man's garbage from you, lady. You don't have to do that. You go to your husband and you say, this guy, you know, I'll take care of him, talk to him. Amen. Amen. And a husband ought to stand up and defend his wife and stand up for her and speak to them. No matter who it is, whether it's your mother or your father or your family or whoever it is, don't you dare stand on the side of somebody else and allow somebody to beat your wife up verbally. That is wrong. That is wrong. And then you expect her to be a submissive and quiet spirit when you allow your family to walk all over her? Amen. No. You're going to answer to God for that. You're in violation of God's order by doing that. You are allowing somebody else to dictate to your wife. And by the way, that's very belittling to a lady. I don't know if you realize that or not, but that is absolutely belittling to a lady. Very belittling. So I'm your wife, I bear your children. I'm going to be with you long after, and everybody else is going to be dead, and I'm going to be with you. And what I say doesn't matter. Vice versa, the same way. You, lady, ought not let your family belittle your husband. Amen. You ought to put them in their place too. Now see, I don't have a problem with that. Because I'm not shy. So, if either side does that, I'm willing to stand up and tell them to shut up. You know, in the spirit of meekness, of course. See, why is that? Because I don't want my wife feeling like I'm going to listen to my father over her. Or my mother over her.
Amen.
It's not right. Or my wife has to make sure that her mother and father aren't trying to do that to me. because this is your family. As kindly as I can say, you have to grow up and realize this is your family. And you're the man that has to lead your house. And the lady has to follow you. But don't make her have a go-between. Don't dismiss her opinions like they don't matter and give somebody else supremacy over your decisions and over decisions you are making for your family, your relationship, your marriage, your wife and children, whatever the case may be. Because when you do that, you violate God's order. Plain and simple. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, folks, this is the reason why a lot of biblical marriages, a lot of marriages are messed up today. Because people don't tell their family to butt out. They don't just tell them to butt out. Do you, okay, let me explain some of you. Let me help you with this, okay? When you, I know, I'm on it now. I can't get off of it. I need it. Here's what happens, okay? And I'm doing this to help you. I hope you understand this. And it goes to everybody in this room to understand this. When you do that to your husband or your wife, when you do that and you side with others like that, it sends a deep hurt inside of that person that they will not forget and they will not trust that you will defend them. They will not. They will not trust you. Ow. My back hurts. I threw my back out doing that. They will not trust you. I'm telling you, they walk around with distrust for you. And you're the one that they're supposed to love, cherish, honor, obey, vice versa. Well, not the obedience, but the other part. You need to learn to tell your families, young couples, to butt out. It's not your decision to make anything. Because, I mean, I'm telling you what, folks will tell you how to raise your kids. They'll tell you what you're doing wrong, what you're not doing wrong, how you change the diaper, how you do this, this is right. You know what? They'll drive you nuts with that stuff. They'll make you feel like you can't do anything. It's not wrong to listen to instruction or to help or guidance or whatever, but take it for what it is. Because usually what I do with things like that, when you try to tell me how to raise my family and you're not bringing the Bible to me, but you're just trying to tell me how you did it, I usually say, I go off into my happy place. I'm looking at you, but I'm really in my happy place. I'm doing jumping jacks somewhere in my happy place because I'm not really listening to you. Because you didn't say, thus saith the Lord. You said, thus saith how I did it. Do you have to do it the way your parents did it? Are you betraying your parents when you don't do it the way they did it? No, but what you might be doing is putting them ahead of your spouse. And then you have a messed up relationship. You have a messed up biblical marriage. And by the way, if you've done that, you need to repent of that. To God first and then to your spouse. Because if you ever believe you're going to get any trust back, I'm telling you, you think all is right now, but when adversity comes, when pressure comes, when afflictions come, they're not going to trust you. They're not going to tell you their heart because they don't trust you. Because you don't side with them. Now, when somebody's clearly in sin, then I don't side with sin. I rebuke the sin. But when it's a preference and you take somebody else's preference over that of your own wife or your own husband, you're belittling each other. And you know what ticks me off the most about that? The relatives that do that walk away knowing that they did that to your spouse. They know they did that and it gives them muscles to keep doing it. I'm telling you, I've been through it. I've been through it and I understand. I'm not mad. I'm just trying to warn you that family is family. Amen? Your family is your responsibility. It's a decision between you and your, and there's nothing wrong with you saying, Dad, Mom, it's a decision we'll make together. My wife and I will make that decision together. My husband and I will make that decision together. Not, oh, thanks for having the baby for me, but I'll do what I want. Thanks for putting up with me and marrying me, but I'll do what I want. Or husband, thanks for providing for me, but I'll do what I want. I'll do what my parents say, husband. Don't worry about what you say. Do you see how that's messed up? I've experienced it, folks. I'm just telling you. And every young couple will experience it. Every couple that's been married for, you'll experience it. You'll experience that. Everybody. sometimes you'll be the one that intrudes. Amen? Just trying to warn you. I've seen it too much. And I've seen it damage relationships, and that deep-seated hurt comes in. And it's veiled, and you don't know about it until something major comes up. And then it's revealed. And then you don't only have to tackle the thing that's major that you're battling in life. You have to tackle the hurt that's there and try to fix that. Because there's a trust issue violated there now. Amen. Okay, that was free. It didn't cost you anything. I don't even have the offering plate out. Where's the offering plate? What's the matter with me? Not even out. Now, that's not to say that you don't take advice or listen to advice. But if you let somebody from the outside think that they've influenced your marriage, you've lost their trust, your wife and your husband, the husband and wife's trust. It's messy. Sometimes you gotta swallow it and take it. There's been times my parents don't like the way I punish my kids or spank my kids or do something like that. I've seen it before. Now it hasn't changed one bit. I still do what I want to do, what I believe is right. And they just have to swallow and take it. Amen. Why? Well, because either he raised a man or he raised a whip. He's got to decide which one he raised. As far as I'm concerned, he raised a man. So I'm going to stand up and parent my house and lead my home. Amen. Now you do the same. Either your parents raised a man or they didn't. Either they raised a lady that's going to follow a man or they didn't. You both decide. Amen. All right. I got to hurry up. Man, I'm going to keep here till 10 o'clock. That's all right. You need it. Amen. You need it. Now don't get mad at me. Well, you can if you want to. It'll be all right. It won't be the first time, will it? All right. Let's back up here just a little bit here. I want to read something else to you here. Not to any other man, nor to her children, nor to her servants, or any brought in her house. Okay. It should render this subjection to her husband more easy, voluntary, and cheerful. And which is but reasonable that it should be, as may be gathered from the time, matter, and end of the woman's creation. She was made after him, that's the husband, out of him, and for him. And from her fall, and being first in the transgression, and from her being the weaker and inferior sex, and from the profitableness and comeliness of it, and the credit of religion requires it, so that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see why the subjection needs to be there? It's the order that God laid down. You say, I don't like being called the weaker, inferior sex. Well, I didn't call you that. God did. Take it up with him. Amen? As unto the Lord, that subjection is, that is, either as the Lord has commanded, that so it should it be, showing a regard to his precepts, listen to this, or as in the sight of the Lord, and so yielding it sincerely and heartily, or in things pertaining to the Lord, which are consistent with the law of the Lord and the gospel of Christ, in like manner as the church is in subjection to Christ, her Lord and husband, as follows. As to the Lord is the command, when you submit to your husband, you are submitting to the Lord. Amen. You are submitting to God's order. 1 Corinthians 11:3, and the head of the woman is the man is the first in the order and in being. It was first formed, and the woman out of him, who was made for him, and not he for the woman, and therefore must be head and chief, as he is also with respect to his superior gifts and excellencies, as strength of body and endowments of mind, whence the woman is called the weaker vessel. Likewise, with regard to preeminence or government, the man is the head, and as Christ is the head of the church, and the church is subject to him, or it should be, shouldn't it? So, the husband is the head of the wife, and she is to be in subjection to him in everything, natural, civil, and religious. Moreover, the man is the head of the woman to provide and care for her, to nourish and cherish her, and to protect and defend her against all insults and injuries. See that? See, we don't play that game. I don't play that game. The day I put that ring on that woman's finger, I promised her that I would care for her and protect her, and I don't let anybody chew her out. If somebody's going to chew her out, it's going to be me chewing her out. Amen. And I've had people try it, and I've stood in the gap and I've said, no, this ends now. You don't do that. Why is that? Well, first of all, it's not your place. Amen? You come and talk to me. I'll take care of it. That doesn't mean ladies can't sit out and reason together and talk together and work some things out, you know, without having too big of an issue. But when it comes to, oh, and by the way, just so you understand, I understand my wife is my wife. She's not the pastor's wife. She's my wife. So don't worry about trying to have any regulations on what she does here. She does what I want her to do, which is take care of me.
Right.
Amen? That's what she does. She's not in charge of the nursery. She's not my assistant pastor. I don't take advice from her. She doesn't lead any ministry. She follows where she needs to, but she doesn't have anything to do with this church from that standpoint. She is a member of this local body, yes. But my wife.
Amen.
Right. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm to protect her, just like you're to protect your wife. How you doing? You let people belittle your wife and sling insults at her? Whether it's friend or foe, family, neighbor, whoever. You let them do that? Don't. You have to do right. And, you know, putting people in their place is sometimes hard. I've had to do it. I've had to do it with family. I've told people before they got into started an argument. I said, well, probably it would be a good idea if you didn't bring that up to her again. Because if that leads into an argument, I don't want to have to get angry. So let's just don't argue with her. Let's not talk about that. Amen? And some people don't like that. But again, that doesn't bother me either. I'm not doing it because you like it. I'm doing it because it's right. Amen? Don't let people belittle your wife. Don't do that. And don't you do it either, but don't let other people do it. I've had to put some people in this church in check for trying it. I'll do it again too, amen? Without any hesitation. And I'd expect to do it to your wife too if somebody was doing that to her. I'd say, I don't think you should talk to her that way. Why don't you go talk to her husband?
Right.
I'm not for that stuff, folks. Amen? I don't like that belittling stuff. I don't like that at all. Not in the least bit. I don't like that. Amen? You ought to cherish your wife. The Bible says to cherish and love her. You ought not let people put her down and belittle her like that. Even if they're doing it in somewhat of a constructive way, it's not their place to do it. It's your place to do it. The Bible says for them to learn from you. Amen? Elder women, yeah, you can learn from them, of course. Man, I gotta get going here. Moreover, the man is the head of the woman to provide and care for her, to nourish and cherish her, and to protect and defend her. A biblical wife will always recognize her husband's leadership over her. She will recognize that leadership, and she will not do anything to usurp that authority or that leadership. Amen? Because when she does that, she acts out of place, and it embarrasses her husband. I've seen some women, and I have known some women, that are bossy. And they get out around their husband. They embarrass their husband. I mean, they come up there and they're practically. I mean, I've had them do it to me before. I just sat there and looked at them like, really? And I mean, they just ran their mouth, and I'm like, and listen, I promise you, I didn't yell either. I didn't do that. I was very calm, and I just listened. They were insulting me, telling me that I didn't know how to pastor, telling me I didn't know how to counsel. Still in church, serving the Lord, faithful to God, by the grace of God. Amen? They're not. But they were telling me, you know, all these other things, and I was thinking to myself, wow, this lady's chewing me out here. She ain't faithful to God. Don't show up to church. Don't give. I'm doing okay. Well, just keep yelling at me. She's just yelling, going off on me. Okay. All right. I didn't yell at her. She's not my wife. Amen. So I got my wife to yell at her. No, just kidding. I knew you'd like that, brother. I didn't say I wouldn't get my wife to yell at her. I said I wouldn't yell at her. Amen. this relationship, it continues, this meekness continues to manifest itself, and that command for a lady to have a meek and quiet spirit will continue. If she is meek and quiet, not looking for the limelight, but looking to build her husband up in respect and love, then she'll submit to him. That is the design for her to submit. She's not to be in the limelight, want everybody to see her, see what she does, see how good she does everything and everything else. She's to point them to her husband. She's to have the meek and quiet spirit in the background. Amen. But, you know, feminism has destroyed that. Amen. That's right. That's absolutely true. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And there shouldn't be a battle there. That shouldn't be there. You shouldn't go home and there's like a war zone of a brawling woman at the house. Just a woman in a nasty mood when you get home. Ugh. I've never had that. Just get home and you just don't even want to go home. Sleep on the roof like Solomon said. Just a nasty attitude when you get. I mean, you know, it's just like a dragon coming home. You know, I never had that. Amen. I've never had that, that fire breathing woman. And I wouldn't date one like that. I could see him coming a mile away. Like, Away. Nope. I'm staying as far away from I can hear that. I don't want no brawling woman. Amen. But, you know, when a church gets in trouble is when she stops following and recognizing Christ as her head and does not submit to the word's authority over her and goes around her husband. Many churches have done that today, and we see what happens in their churches. They don't follow the Bible. They don't follow the word of God, do they? They don't let Christ be the head of the church. You know, they're ran by some board or ran by the government or they disobey the precepts in Scripture. She's to have a meek and quiet spirit. The church is the same way. Many wives act this way towards their own husbands. They act independently of their husbands. You should not do that. There are many wives that will act independently. When you get married, don't act independently of your husband. Don't do that. Nothing slaps a man who is a husband in the face harder than when his wife does an end run around him and usurps his authority. It's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing for a wife to do that. And it's embarrassing for you because it puts you in a bad light when others see that. Others see a bold and brassy woman, and it is a huge eyesore when you see it. Just very aggressive and brassy. By the way, to a biblical man, that is not attractive at all. It's very ugly. Amen? It's very ugly. You say, that sounds sexist. No, it sounds biblical. Amen? It sounds biblical. Again, when somebody doesn't want to agree with your position, they'll just label it something. When they can't argue with the Bible, they'll just call you a name. Amen? Look what happens when a church goes around and it goes around the head to build a church. Worldly disorder, wicked rebellion. When a wife does not submit to her husband, she's being rebellious. You say to her husband, no, to God. Do you understand that? That is submission is under the Lord. When you are rebellious to your husband, you are being rebellious to God. When there's that war and that fighting there, you're just being rebellious to God. You're saying, God, I don't respect your order and I don't trust you that you'll take care of me if I obey this man. Your rebellion is not to your husband, it's to God. Your rebellion, what did Eve do? She rebelled God's natural order. Yea, hath God said? The serpent said, and Eve said, well, I don't know about that. I've seen ladies hush their husbands and try to lead them and correct them while others. I've seen them do that before. I don't let people do that to me, by the way. Women do that. It's just, now warn me if I'm gonna, you know, if I'm going to say something that's going to offend somebody because she knows, you know, maybe that's a different story. You know what I mean? Oh, no, don't say that. They've had this happen to them. You know what I mean? That's different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hushing you when you get excited or something like that. Now, unless you're being irate or crazy, I've had my wife go, I just look at her like, oop, okay. And that was, and what that was, no, calm down. You're getting a little too excited. She wasn't telling me what to do. She was just warning me, you sound really loud. She didn't have to say anything, just set her arm on my hand like this. Oh, okay. You see the difference there? One, nobody else would know unless you're watching. what that told me was is that she knows something that I don't, so maybe I want to be quiet right now. Because maybe I'm going to hurt somebody if I say something. Or maybe I'm getting too mad and I might hurt somebody anyway, so maybe I better just settle down. There's a difference in that. That's a meek and quiet spirit. Amen? When you leave the scriptural pattern of meek and quiet spirit and shout down another man or argue with another man and bring shame to your husband, there should never be a time where I as a pastor will or need to get into a confrontation with some man's wife. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to talk to you. I've had women embarrass me greatly in public, in church, and say things to me that were awful. And I've held my tongue. And I've been as kind as I could be. And I'd go talk to their husband. You know? And I deal with it. Now, not here. We don't have that problem here. But we haven't yet anyway. But it has happened before. Listen, I've been around single ladies, though, and this is a lesson for you if you're going to be a biblical wife someday. I've been around single ladies or ladies that are not married or young, even young girls, and that they leave that meek and quiet spirit and have a combative and disrespectful spirit. And it's very ugly. It looks bad. Because it's rebellion. It's a spirit of rebellion. And it doesn't look right. Amen? It's out of place. Notice that submission was, and I'm almost done here, I promise. Notice that submission is free. You guys are going to have to stand up and do jumping jacks pretty soon. I'm wearing you out back there. But notice that submission means free from murmurings and disputings. It means free from a bad attitude while you're submitting. You can submit, but you just have a terrible, raunchy attitude when you do it. God doesn't want that, amen. God doesn't want that kind of submission. That's not from the heart, amen. He wants submission from the heart. Well, you say, and in closing, what are the reasons why God would have you to submit to your own husband? Reason number one is because that is the order of the sexes that God instituted. That's God's order. Even before the fall, that was God's order. If there was no other reason, a woman came from a man, not the other way around. Amen? Ladies lose sight of that sometimes. They get into this evolutionary thought process of society and they think that men came from women, and they didn't. The first one came from a man. Amen? 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Eve, here's the second reason why, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Right before that are the verses, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in subjection. Now why is that? Because Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. She is not to be given the head at this, and this was never hers, but the other reason is that she was deceived. Being in the transgression. Ladies can be fooled very easy. They react on their feelings. A lady that is not guided by a father in a relationship with when she's seeking marriage or something like that can be fooled very. That guy can talk her into anything. Trust me. I was a lost man. They can be talked into anything. You can make them think you're God. And they'll listen because they react to feelings. Amen. I'm being honest with you folks. I'm not being unkind. And then they end up being somebody that abuses, that beats, that doesn't take care of their family. They're reprobate, they're wicked, and they're rotten. Why? Because a man was not guiding that lady through that relationship. Her father was not guiding her. Her spiritual leader was not guiding her through there and saying, wait a minute. Now I like this person, but I want you to watch some things and keep an eye on some things. I'm a little concerned about this, 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 and this. Amen? Guys are slick. Hey, Ben. Listen, folks, I'm being honest with you. Guys are slick. They just are. But if a young lady's in submission to her father, then she will go to him and he will, well, he'll pound the snot out of some guy that tries to take advantage of her. Hey, Ben. Right? He would, wouldn't he? I know I would. I know I will. Hey, Ben. That's why ladies are not to lead, though, because they are easier to deceive. If Adam was in the garden and the serpent were to talk with him, he would have just pounded him. If that snake man or serpent or whatever it was, we don't know, but he wasn't crawling like that. But if he would have came up and talked to Adam, he'd have been like, I mean, he'd have hit the thing. He wouldn't have sat there and played with him. Hath God said, he's like, you know he said that. What are you talking about? Get out of here. He would have done that. Adam wasn't fooled. Adam loved his wife, and that's why he did what he did. Adam did what he did out of love. Still sinned. He loved her over God, so he sinned. He knew full well. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew, he was like, she's going to die alone. I don't want her to die alone. They eat this, Adam. Okay, there you go. He ate it. He wasn't fooled. He knew what he was doing. Folks, that's God's order. That's why God gave the reason women are not to preach and to pastor and to lead the home. That's why that order was put in place. That's the reason for it. That's the reason. Now, the subjection was already there, but the subjection in this case and the reasons laid down is because of the transgression. She was never going to be the leader because Adam was first. And the serpent, the feminist movement today is the same. Based all off emotional feelings and what I want and not scriptural understanding or proper reasoning, just whatever I want. I'm equal to you. I should be equal to you. And I love it. And by the way, those that say they're Christians and follow that feminist stuff and that equality stuff, sit down with me with the Bible once, will you? If you claim to be a Christian, I'd love to. I don't care who it is. Have them sit down with me with the Bible. I would love to sit and talk to them about that whole thing. Amen? And the pansy guy that's following that model too, by the way, I'd love to talk to them too. I'm just telling you, folks, biblical manhood, it just makes me sick today what I see out there. Can't stand up and be a man. My goodness. You ever think them ladies are probably waiting for a guy to be a man? They just want him to be a man? Just be a man. You'd be surprised how women respond to a man that stands up and is assertive. The serpent really beguiled her. She owned it herself, though. And this is elsewhere said of her, which never is of Adam. She really thought the serpent spoke truth, that she and her husband should not die if they ate of the fruit, but that it was good to make them wise, and that upon eating it they should be as gods, knowing good and evil. And under this deception she fell into the transgression, and was this cause and means, by her persuasions and example of bringing her husband into the same sin, which involved him and all his prosperity in ruin and destruction. And therefore she is called by the Jews the mother of iniquity and sin. And they say she was the cause of death of Adam, that's what the Jews say, and to all the world. And they observed, this is what the Jews say now, and they observed the order of punishment of the serpent, Eve, Adam, as of their sin. The serpent was the first accursed, then Eve, last of all Adam. The devil could not subvert Adam till the serpent came and turned the heart of Eve. He knew he wasn't going to fool Adam. Adam was walking and talking with God. He knew the relationship. He was there with God longer than Eve was. He knew he wasn't going to fool him. Wherefore it is said, the woman which thou gavest me, Satan had no power to turn him till Eve came, and she was the cause of his eating. He knew he could get through the weaker vessel. Now, as much as the serpent did not attack Adam, he being the stronger and more knowing person and less capable of being managed and seduced, but made his attempt on Eve, in which he succeeded. And since not Adam but Eve was deceived, it appears that the man is the more proper person to bear rule and authority, as in civil and domestic, so in ecclesiastical affairs, and it is right for the woman to learn and the man to teach. And seeing that Eve was the cause of transgression to Adam and of punishment to him and his prosperity, the subjection of the woman to the man was confirmed afresh, and she was brought into a more depressed state of dependence on him and subjection to him because of that. She was just plain deceived by the devil, folks. She was fooled. Plain and simple. But there's another reason, and we're done here. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Your submission and your godliness and your meekness is an ornament of a sweet sacrifice unto God. And when God sees that, He honors that, and He moves the heart of that husband, and that husband sees that subjection, and he is attracted to that, and he will be attracted to God because of that. Winning the lost husband or the husband that is away from God by your chaste conversation coupled with fear, that's coupled with reverence and respect for your husband, will win him, will help win him to the Lord. It's a matter of another person's soul you're dealing with. It's a matter of the world seeing that subjection and others seeing that subjection, understanding that there's something different about that. Remember, you are submitting to God when you submit to your husband. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband, to regard with fear, mingled with respect and affection, with reverence superiors for their age, their authority, and their virtues. Those that I reverence, those I fear, the wife. This does not mean your wife would fear you physically, but a fear of and a respect toward God that my actions against my husband, if wrong, will put me at odds against God and out of His will. You don't have to agree to submit, but you cannot be right with God by not submitting to His authority and letting Him lead and be your protection and covering. Are you a biblical lady? Are you a biblical wife? Do you want to be? Are you helping your wife? Stand to your feet. Are you helping your wife be a biblical wife? That's the question you have to ask yourself.